What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 25 of the Tucson Pinball Podcast, part two. So this is the day two recap that Ben and I discussed. So at this point, everybody's been split into their divisions, and it's approximately anywhere from 160 to 250 people per division. They kind of group them. I don't know what they use to group them, but they're not evenly distributed. And it's basically a race against, not time, but it's a race against the five rounds that you have remaining in the day. And what you want to do by the end of the day, you want to be in the top 40. Everybody that's in the top 40 will make finals on the following day. And the higher you are in the seeding, the more potential buys, or not the more potential, but the more buys that you will get. If you're in the top four, I believe you get a double buy. I think Will ended up with a double buy at some point, and he had a lot of waiting to do on the final day of Pinburg. So Ben and I, we didn't really take a break as we went from day one to day two. We just kind of jumped right into it. So we're going to do the same right now. So here we are, day two. I started day two ranked 128th in B.
So I ended up in D. I think I was the lowest ranked player from Tucson, certainly, because Tucson had representation in all four groups.
Yes, we did. That was cool.
Yeah. And so I started day two ranked 55 in D.
And just to go back onto that point we talked about earlier, so we started the previous round even. There was a difference of 5 points between the two of us. And we skipped an entire division on the next day.
Yeah,
by a huge margin. Like, that's just how tight it is at Pinburg. And that's why when people say, you know, every point matters, every point counts, don't stress about it. Like, don't freak out about it. But don't you can't really take any games off either, because that 1 point or 2 points that you missed out on might make a big difference. So,
yep, don't let up.
Exactly. So round six for me, I think I was the fourth place player in this group. Jeff Barthold. So let's talk about Jeff real quick, and then we can kind of talk about Derek as well. So Jeff and Derek both had rounds in which they struggled. I think they struggled in a few of the first three rounds.
Struggled mightily.
Yes. Jeff pulled a zero, which, oh, yeah, that's what I was thinking about. We have to come up with terms for the people that score a zero in a round, like when you're in that group, and then when you're in a group and they score a 12 on you. Like, what happened? Like, there's getting Belcedo'd, which is, you know, getting Jim, like, bumping you out of the bubble position to qualify for finals or whatever like that. Because he's done that on the last game several times in several tournaments for qualifying. But, like, when somebody pulls a zero, or if you pull a zero, like, what is that called? And then what is it called when you pull a 12? We don't have to come up with something right now, like, but that's something to sit and stew on, because I'm like, you know what, if, well, we'll get to round 10. But anyways, so round six, Ollie is back, and he is in my group as well. And so that just means that I can't remember the name of the fourth person in my round six group, because, oh, yeah, actually I can. It was Jim Swain from, and he's one of the guys from the Sanctum. And on Pinside, prior to this, to Pinburg, there is a thread that talks about streaming setups and things like that. And we both stream on Twitch. I don't stream very much, but that's because all the games at my house are broken. And but Jim has this really cool setup at the Sanctum where they have like two, they're not, I don't think they're hard wires. I think they're actually metal posts, and they use those to roll this camera rig setup back and forth over their games. They have like 8 or 12 in a row or something. And then they can adjust the cameras, but you can do this and it's all set up, you know, the wires are set up on an umbilical kind of out of the way. But I thought that was really cool because, you know, he can only do one game at a time, but he can do any game he wants to without really too much inconvenience. And so we chatted about that after, you know, he was kicking my ass on like everything, but, you know, in between balls, we'd still chat about, oh, you know, I wanted to know if he's got his camera set up on like pan and tilts, or, you know, how he's got those set up. And he's like, oh yeah, we can just go up and adjust them from behind, I think. So either way, yeah, my round six was more talking about Twitch camera rig setups and less about the 4 points I earned.
Oh, yeah, my round six was, again, three games I never played. So it had Mustang, Surfer, Elvira and the Party Monsters, and Scorpion. And Surfer, I won. I had a great game on that. I almost rolled that one. Elvira was interesting. I think the default jackpot on Elvira is like 4 million points. And so it's far more than anything else you can earn in the game through, typical normal play. And nobody hit the jackpot. So the winning score of the game was only something like 2.6 million. And it's kind of just a battle of who can hit the most random targets because nobody's getting any points for anything. It turns out I hit the least random targets and I lost that game. So that was pretty awful. And then Scorpion. Scorpion is an old early solid state Williams wide body. And it has ball locks that are saucers. And it kind of has like an anti-lock stealing thing built into it, which I didn't realize because so many games of this era, like you can, there's lock stealing. And so I just assumed when someone else had locked a ball that I locked the second ball and then, multi-ball. And that's not the case. So I went over and I turned my head and I looked to the plunger to the shooter lane to look for the ball so I could plunge it and start my multi-ball or whatever. And then out of the corner of my eye, I see a ball shoot out of the other saucer and go right down the drain. So I definitely left some points on the table there, but I still took second on that game. So I ended up with 7 points in round six, which is pretty reasonable start.
Yeah. And in that situation, like you were saying, you're expecting to be able to just steal locks because that's what happens in that era.
Yeah.
And when you play something that doesn't let you do that, you're just like, this is so far out of the norm that this is, why did this happen
to me? I hadn't played the games before. I mean, like, I think I played Scorpion once at Texas Pinball Festival and it was by myself. And, if it's outside of a tournament setting, you don't really, necessarily try to learn all the rules or anything like that.
Oh yeah.
So it was just kind of flailing around, but I never played a multiplayer game of it and I had no idea that's what it did with the locks. So now I know.
Yeah, well, and I don't want to say, I don't want to put a number on it and say, if I've never played a game 5 times, then I'll say I've never played it before. Because that's obviously not the truth. But if I haven't played something at least 5 times, I haven't paid attention enough to have absorbed the things I need to know about that game.
Yeah, exactly.
So, all right, well, round 7 for me was one of those interesting rounds because I got put into a 3-player group. And the first game we played is a game that I would really like to have available locally, and that's Joker Poker. And
I love that game.
I love that game too. And this game, and I've played this exact game last year, not in a round, but after the event was over, I went over and I played Joker Poker a ton. And
this is a solid state Joker Poker.
Yeah, and apparently it didn't remember that from last year because it killed me.
It was out for revenge.
I guess so, but I still want one around because it's a great game.
Yeah,
but it is. That was the round that I played Revenge from Mars, and keep in mind this is a 3-player group, and I was doing so well that I was not walking up to my last ball confident, but I was comfortable knowing the numbers. But then the person who was player 3 just stepped up and was like, hey, I remember how to play this game, and they just walked away with it. It was unreal. So I got 4 points out of that one. I came in last in the group, and that just gave me a half point that you carry around with you for the rest of the event, more than likely, which just makes it super weird trying to figure out everything.
Yeah.
Not that it's a bad thing, because I understand they need 3-player groups, stuff like that, but it's just like, oh, hey, 48.5 points or whatever it is. You must have been in a 3-player group. It's like, yes. Yes, I was.
I started on Walking Dead. I ended up second place on that game. Third place was only 50,000 points behind me, which is incredibly close on that game. And nobody really did all that well. Zigzag was the EM in our group. And this is the first and fortunately only time that I played an EM in Tilted where Tilt ends game.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, so I finished last there. I was kind of on track to have a score that was going to be competitive with two of the other three players, but I tilted out on ball three. So I missed out on, 40% of the points for that game. I played Jokers next, which actually went pretty well. I had a pretty good score. I don't think anybody in the group knew how to play it. I just went off of what I could find on pin tips.
Nice.
And I don't even remember what I was shooting at anymore, but I had some long ball times, so that's how I won that one, I guess. And so then Supersonic was the last game, and I won that one too. I think I hit a bunch of lit spinners, which nice. Are light spinner, hit spinner.
Yep, and build the bonus on that one too. I played that bank last year, and I don't know if it was the same EM or not, but so Supersonic was our first game, and I had no idea what to do, and I was just like, oh, a spinner, let's, how do you light it? can't figure that out. Okay, let's just hit the spinner anyways, because that's, all you know how to do on this game. But Will was actually playing in the bank next to me, and so after Supersonic, either way, we got to the point where we were playing Jokers, and Will came over, and he's like, how's it going? I was like, well, I sucked on Supersonic and, la, la, la. And I was like, we're playing Jokers here next, and I've never seen this before. And he was just like, oh, well, shoot the ramp or steal multiball. And just like, kind of gave me maybe a 3-sentence tutorial. I'm like, oh, okay. And so I did that. And I think I ended up winning that game last year in my round. I was just like, that elevated ramp type thing. That was it was very weird. It was very cool though. Cause it's, I mean, it's probably the same mech that they use on Diner to lift up for that lock shot, but backwards. And I thought that was a really cool feature of that game. It was very, it was almost cartoony with the way it kind of felt with the artwork and just kind of the caricatures and the sounds.
And I think they had some of the big yellow rubbers around that ramp or something like that. Mm-hmm. So that it wasn't quite as easy, but like, it's still so close and it's wide enough that it seemed like a lot of people were making that ramp more often than missing.
Yeah. So I'm going to make you feel a little bit better on your EM, though, because I don't remember who it was, but somebody has said recently on one of the podcasts, it might have been Taylor Reese, because he's the more handsy of the podcasters, and they tilted out one of the games that ends the game on Tilt. He tilted shortly after the plunge, and so he ended his game with 20 points.
Oh wow!
So, yeah. So whether that was Taylor or somebody else, I don't know. I'm not gonna pin the tail on anybody. But somebody tilted out one of those types of games, and they ended up with 20 points after tilting on ball one shortly after the plunge. So it happens.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. So round eight, we're gonna do a little bit of kind of confirmation from one of your early rounds. Barracor is very interesting. I've never played that game prior to this. And I couldn't figure out why the heck, when I was hitting drop targets, they wouldn't stay the frick down.
Yes.
And then eventually
That is an interesting feature of that game.
Yeah, and then I recognized what the pattern and what was going on, and I'm just like, oh my goodness, like my operator brain goes into, holy crap, how many coils are under this thing? because each one is individually controlled. But the thing that was throwing me off the most was the double in lanes up, or not the in lanes, but the double lanes up top, like the numbering. It was like 1, 2, 3, 4 for one row, and then another row of 5, 6, 7, 8 or something like that. And I was
yeah, 1, 2, 3 and 4, 5, 6, and they change different directions. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff going on in Barracor.
I couldn't really figure out like what you were supposed to do, like how you're supposed to line them up. But I wasn't taking that as to be, something that was going to put me from last to first or anything like that. So I was, I was down. I was more focusing on the rest of the game after, lining things up and then one row disappeared that I wasn't expecting to, or I don't know. That was just interesting. But yeah, I completely see the appeal in that game. I really enjoyed playing that game. I wish that wasn't the first time I had played that game,
mm-hmm.
because it didn't go well, but either way, it was interesting. So let's talk about AC/DC. So when you played it, had you seen any of the previous groups play it, or did you just walk up to it not seeing what happened?
I just walked up to it like, this is, I'm going to assume this is just like every other AC/DC. And I had two absolutely terrible balls to start. And then I went into ball three thinking, all right, I'm just going to hit some ramps, start a multi-ball, see what happens, whatever. And I must have rattled five shots out of the left ramp. And I think I lit multi-ball as right before my ball went out an out lane. So.
Okay, breaking. So, yes. And so we were, so AC/DC was the far left game. And I think we started on Barracora. But when I was in between balls on Barracora, I was looking over, and I kept seeing people getting like super frustrated, because I think this was an A division group that was playing AC/DC, and like people left and right were just leaving like, oh, I missed that shot. Can't, you know, like just whether they were lamenting or just venting or whatever it was. But I looked over at the scores and I recognized some of the players' names, and I'm just going, that thing is just killer right now. What is safe? And so when I walked up to it, yes, exactly. But there's one thing that is safe for a while, but then it kind of hoses you later. And so I chose Hell Ain't a Bad Place to Be in order to start the game. And I built up the song Jackpot, and I finished second place with 12.6 million points. First place was 40 million points. But the other two scores were just like your experience. They were just like, wait, I didn't even, what? It's over? You know, it was
yeah,
insane.
And it seemed like there was nothing like particularly hard. Like, I mean, the out lanes were all the way open and it was steep and fast, but like there was nothing unfair about it.
Yeah.
It's just if you missed shots, the penalty was high. I think in my group, so I had the sub 6 million, two players were in the high teens, and one player put up like 73 million.
Yeah, and
I don't know how that happened. It's like when you watch Andy play at D&D, and it's like he's playing the same game I'm playing, but all of his shots go where they're supposed to go, and mine go to the out lanes.
Yeah. Well, so and then I don't even remember what the EM was in that group, but we played Cactus. Okay. And I played that last year, but I don't think it was in this group. Oh, you know what? I think it was in my finals bank last year, and that's where I saw it for the first time. But yeah, I played so insignificantly on that I don't even remember how it went. It was just, everybody was just like, meh, you know, either way. So then we played Cactus Jacks, which might be the most Gottlieb of all time.
Oh, those, you know, weird floppy cactuses are just like, duh.
Yeah, and like you said, like you just happen to get more lucky than anybody else. And the same thing happened to me. Like, everybody's got like 1 million or 2 million or something like that. And all of a sudden, I shoot one of the lower scoops. I think it was the lower right. And it was like, hey, Banjo Frenzy, shoot this shot for 20 million points or some ridiculously insane thing. Yeah. And I'm just like, you know, I had an out of body experience where, like, you know, the Christmas story where like your ghost comes out and is doing something, but your body is still doing something else. Like, I continued to play the game, but my spirit like left my body and just like turned around and looked at the rest of the players in my group and was like, is this for real? You know, like it's that super goofy random. But I mean, everybody was having a fun time playing that game, even though it was set up fairly hard. But like it's such a Gottlieb. Oh my goodness. Like, and it's not a Gottlieb like Wedgehead Gottlieb. It's such a Premier,
right?
Because only Premier could do things like that.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I just realized, I think a week ago, Cactus Jacks is in Pinball Arcade. And I went and I played it in Pinball Arcade, and it was terrible there too.
But I had fun. Right. I mean, it was entertaining. It was fun. Is it a good tournament game? No, probably not.
Yeah.
Oh. But either way. So
my round eight, I had Mark Lindbergh, another Arizona person in my group.
Nice.
And he cleaned up. But we started with X-Men. I had a reasonably good X-Men, like 10 million points, and that ended up being enough to win because it was just super fast. And what caught me off guard, but a couple other people in our group too, was that it had virtual locks on. And I was the first person to play. And even though there is a big 8.5 by 11 sign on the back glass that said virtual locks are on, I did not notice that virtual locks were on. And so I locked a ball on Magneto. And just like the day before, I went to look at the shooter lane for the next ball as I see my ball from Magneto go right down the center. But
yeah.
Yeah, but I ended up having a pretty good comeback on that one. I think I started that Weapon X multi-ball with a mode going, and that ended up being enough to win because that was just really tough playing X-Men. And then Space Race was our EM. I took a zero on that. It was just house ball city. I think I had, let's say, 3.5 house balls on Space Race, and I just wasn't even close.
3.5 house balls? How do you get a half about house ball?
Well, you know, you kind of have like half a flip to try to just, you know, get some semblance of control.
And, a slight chance, you know, of saving it, and it decides no anyways.
It's like when you try to save a ball and you save it to the out lane.
Kind of
like that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And let's see, we had Judge Dredd next, which I just played on Pinball Arcade. I don't think I'd ever actually played one in person. And I didn't have a great game, but it was good enough for second. Mark ended up running away with that one. And then the last game in our group was Quicksilver, which is like my new favorite game I never played before. I did poorly on it. I ended up in third place, but the spinners are just like lightning fast, and flippers are really strong, and there were some cool angles of the drop targets, and it was fantastic. I wish there was one around somewhere I could actually play, but that was a really fun game.
Yeah, I've heard of Quicksilver a few times. Again, I've never really played it either. I've seen it in events, but I don't know. I don't think I've ever played one. Again, it's one of those things. I've played it less than 5 times because by the 5th time, I typically remember or at least have some semblance of, hey, this is how we want to play this game.
Yeah. At the very least, there's the straightforward strategy where each in lane on that game lights the opposite spinner for a bunch of points. So you can just do like in lane spinner, and, you know, do reasonably well.
Oh, that's cool.
And the person who won that game, that's what she did, and she crushed it.
So that kind of plays into more of like an on the fly type player style where it's you should not trap the ball. You should, you know, light that spinner and hit it as soon as possible.
Yeah, or if you can do, you know, the in lane passes or alley passes, whatever you want to call them, that's a great way to go there. But I ended up taking 6 points in that group, so I did okay. I think it looks like Mark took 10, so he had a pretty successful round.
Yeah, cool. Well, so he probably had, at this point, he might have had a little bit of catching up to do then because of the way later things would play out. But for round 9 for me, I had one of those achievement unlocked moments where I looked at the game list and or not the game list. I looked at the player list and I said, yes, finally we get to answer this question. And so I walked over and I was wearing my Wayne's World hat and I got to play around at Pinburg with Dana Carvey.
It was not
that Dana Carvey, but it was the pinball Dana Carvey. And she was very, very funny because she recognized my hat instantly. And she said, "Let me tell you a story about the first date I had with my husband." And, you know, you can tell people are a little bit relaxed when, like, they're already basically showing you their family photo album and stuff like that. But, like, she kind of, like, we had some small Wayne's World comment, you know, jokes or whatever. And then, so she told me this story. She said, "So I met my husband, you know, online dating service type stuff, whatever. And so, you know, I think she just knew his first name." And she said, we get to dinner and he just, like, the first thing he says when they sit down, he's like, "So, you know, if this thing works out, your last name, your name's going to be Dana Carvey." And, like, she got the reference. She thought it was funny. And she's like, "And 6 years later, you know, things are going just fine," type of thing. You know, so it was kind of one of those, like, but it was That's literally great. Like, it was a 30-second happy story. And it's just like, I got to play with Dana Carvey, and that's funny because, you know, I heard the Wayne's World jingle all day, every day when I was going through every grade of school, and it's just like, I got to play pinball with Dana Carvey. And the rest of the round is irrelevant. Like, who cares? I played Totan. Woohoo! But,
yeah.
Yes. So, yeah, so that was funny. Oh, yeah, we played the Frontier Bank, and Frontier has the second best crickets in all of pinball. Everybody thinks Frontier has the best crickets in all of pinball. That's not true. And everybody who's played in Tucson knows that Special Force has the best crickets in all of Tucson, or in all of pinball. Whatever you think about the game is different. It has the best cricket sounds. So I came in second with a 6, and that's all that matters in the round is what I previously mentioned.
So in my group, I started on No Fear, which I think was in the Zapcon tournament a couple years ago, but I didn't remember anything. I got some instruction from Will on, like, what I should try to do, and that ended up actually working really well. I ended up taking second place.
So what was the instruction? Do you remember? Did he just say upper flipper all day, or what did he say?
No, it was I really can't remember the specifics of what he was telling me, but it was about, like, what to choose on your skill shot and whether to, you know, go for modes or multi-ball or that kind of thing. I did end up hitting like 5 or 6 shots in a row during a mode on that upper flipper shot that just keeps looping around, and that ended up being worth a ton of points. I ended up talking to the player who won that game. He basically did the exact same thing as I did. He went to one of his friends who knew how to play No Fear, asked for suggestions. He got the exact same suggestions, and he just executed that better than me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We had Space Mission for our EM, which I feel like I've played Space Mission, and I can't remember if Space Mission is the 2-player or 4-player version, but I've played this a ton at shows, it feels like. I think they made tons of these. I did end up winning Space Mission by a pretty good margin there. And Funhouse,
there was one at Zapcon. I played the one at Zapcon several times.
I think the one at Zapcon was right next to my Gorgar.
That it was.
So I did play it a few times. Funhouse was the third game, another game I know and enjoy. And I started the game with a quick multi-ball that led to a quick double drain. Like, unbelievably fast double drain.
So rough.
The first ball went into the lower right scoop before the other ball had shot out of that same scoop. So they both shot out at the same time. And one ended up going down the center drain and one ended up going to an out lane. So, like, I never even got to do anything.
And you couldn't even decide if you wanted to continue watching the one that was heading down the center or down the out lane, because it's just like, wait, disaster. Can I?
So that Funhouse game, the winner had just over 4 million points. That's pretty terrible. Okay. And then we finished on $6 Million Man, which I had never played before. But I think is the only six-player solid-state game that I know of. And all I remember is that it had some good spinners. And that was enough to get me second place. So I ended up taking 7 points in that round.
Oh, nice.
Yep.
So round 10, I started on $6 Million Man.
Oh.
Yeah, so I've never played that game either. And apparently I don't pay attention very much either, because the guy that was that ended up winning this game, I should have just watched what he was doing and did what he had done. And even if I did it poorly, I probably still would have come in better than the other two players. But as it was, I scored a zero. And I played it the next day with Will, and I did so much better. Like, I beat Will on it, which is always something that I kind of like, hey, I never do this. Yeah. And he didn't have a terrible game or anything like that. It's just like, hey, where was this yesterday? And so, got a zero on that. No fear. I should have gotten a zero, but what was one of Bowen's three rules? I think it was be quiet when you're not playing. And what's one of the rules in pinball? Wait till it says bonus, right? Wait till it says bonus and then walk away. Not walk away and then hear somebody go, and then turn around and go, oh, there's a ball save. I shall continue to play. And it was just like, I felt so dirty. Like I really did. I felt really guilty because I literally needed like one main shot in order to pass the person that ended up coming in fourth place. So I should have picked up a zero on that, but I picked up a one because we're all pinball players and none of us are really good at just shutting up when the ball save goes and somebody walks away, yeah. You know, it's so instinctive. It's just something that you're just so used to, you know, blurting out, but it's like, you're not supposed to do that. And the person that said that ended up coming in second. So it wasn't like they were the one that came in fourth and I beat them. They would have stayed still. Whereas realistically, the fourth place person probably could have put up a big enough stink to have the person that said something come in zero. Cause I think that's one of the aspects of that. So we all would have shifted up a point aside from the winner. But, again, it's one of those situations where I wasn't really going to, I didn't even think about it until afterwards, but I was just like, hey, you know, but I did feel dirty in the moment. I was just like, oh, I feel guilty. I should have just let it drain and been like, it's my fault. I was not paying attention. So I will not take advantage of the benefit I've been given. Space mission. So some players, when that kick out comes out and it hits the target and it just, you can do that forever. And then other players, it goes and it hits the target and it kills you. Yeah, I was the second person. That killed me a lot and easily.
I was the first person.
Well, good. You know, somebody's hopefully going to get that benefit or, you know. In some situations, I'm sure there's some groups where like everybody just died instantly, but I'm sure there's other groups where the game just went on and on and on because it's one of those games that can do that, I imagine. So Funhouse, you said you had 4 million or the winner had 4 million.
The winner had 4 million. I had 1.4.
Okay. So I had 3.6, I think, and I came in second and the winner had, I think it was 6 and change. And so I went 0-1-1-2, and guess what? There was two other players in my group that ended up with 4 points. And if you do math really quickly, or you just kind of are in Pinburg mode, you'll say, but wait, there's 12 points left on the table. That's exactly right. So Greg Pavarelli, who is in my round 10 group, scored a 12. Round 10, and this dude gets a medallion, and he earned it. Oh my goodness, did he earn it. Like, I had him in my sights. I was winning for most of Funhouse, and he still clawed back. And it was, like, we were all just kind of we're like three or four steps behind, but we're, like, all lined up as when we're not, playing. We're just kind of all gathering in the same line, just kind of chatting about what's going on and everything. And by the end of that Funhouse game, we're just like, dude, we all got fours, and he just 12'd us, you know? It's like... That's just so crazy. Like he got a medal in round 10. I think that's really
that's
impressive.
That's pretty good.
So yeah, and so with go ahead.
I was going to go into my round 10, but if you have more, go for it.
No, I was going to say that's how I ended my round 10, getting somebody 12'd me or however whatever term we decide is appropriate. Like, ugh.
Yeah.
Denied.
Yeah, I didn't encounter any 12s or zeros in any of my groups.
That's always good.
Yeah. So my round 10, I went into it seated 40th. And top 40 make the playoff.
Well, unless you're in one of those nerve-wracking tiebreaker positions, yeah.
Yeah. So I knew I at least needed to finish, you know, above 50% to have a pretty good shot. And I drew the group with the new Stern Star Wars.
Oh.
And, oh, it was the fastest game I played all weekend. Like a just out of the box Star Wars that I've never, I mean, my first balls plunged on a Star Wars were on this game. I'd only seen it on some Twitch streams before. And you hear about all these huge scores on Star Wars in the billions of points. The winner in our group had 106 million points.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I lost. I took a zero with a 28 million.
Ouch.
So that's how that was playing. So I didn't have a favorable outlook towards Star Wars after just that experience. I've played it since then, and it's not as terrible as I felt it was at the time, but that was pretty rough. So now I know I need at least like 6 or 7 points, and I take a zero in my first game. And somehow I managed to win my last 3 games, which was fantastic.
Well, that's always nice.
Yeah. So we had soccer was our EM. And I was just doing really well on that one. Hurricane, which was the late solid state game. I think it was it's in that trio of games. It's Hurricane and Cyclone and Comet.
Mm-hmm.
They're all like that, just that terrible roller coaster themed set of games.
Cyclone.
Well, you know, that's too bad. but I'd played Comet and Cyclone, and I don't have anything good to say about either of them, but Hurricane was definitely more fun than either of those. So this is my first time playing Hurricane, and I was it's good to know that at least one of the three is not terrible.
And that's an early DMD though, right?
I think you're right. It was an early DMD.
Okay.
And then our last game was Evel Knievel, which I've played a lot of because we have it at D&D. But
you've never played it set up on 3-ball, have you?
I've never played it on 3-ball. And so I didn't realize that on 3-ball, the spinner is lit like right from the start. So it changes things a little bit. And then you only, you know, obviously with no extra balls, there's no reason to go for the drop targets more than once. But I think I hit some really good shots, really good solid shots on the spinner that was lit. And so I was able to finish out with the win there. So that was all enough to get me 9 points. And cement my spot in the playoffs for the following day.
Very good, very good. Yeah, I only know about the difference between the 3 and 5-ball lit spinner rule because I was looking through the manual trying to troubleshoot a different issue, obviously, than lit spinners, and I just happened to come across that paragraph in the rule section, and I'm like, hey, this is kind of good to know. I don't know when I'm going to use it, but I'll store that information. So I know you sent out a blast saying, hey, anybody know how to play Star Wars, which... Had you said, hey, anybody know how to play Evel Knievel on 3-balls, I would have said, hey, one of the spinners is always lit. But Yeah, that was kind of funny because I think Derek had played it earlier, right?
I think so. Yeah, and I believe so. We went over and we were talking about the game, standing there before my round started, and his advice was pretty much hit the lit shots. And I thought, okay, well, I mean, that's not bad advice. That's pretty good advice generally. And I started the game, and it's just like, oh, everything's lit. This isn't very helpful.
Yeah.
Everything's lit.
So many choices.
And things are lit like two or three different colors. And I just have no idea what I was doing.
Yeah, that's one of those that it's going to take. See, I think that's like the next stage of Game of Thrones, which Game of Thrones is a game that we also don't have locally, but it's one of those that I just have a feeling that it's going to show up on the tournament scene time in and time out. So, you know, it's good to have that game knowledge. And
yeah, I mean, I've played probably 20-ish games on Star Wars since then. And I definitely have a better idea of what to do now. But I think it'll be a popular tournament game for a few years, and then it'll kind of fall off.
Yeah. Well, so I played, I think it was with Dave and Derek, but I played the white Star Wars, the one that was all powder-coated white. And in front of us, the guy that was playing, like, it seemed like he was playing Dance Dance Revolution with his hands, because he was hitting the center button and then, like, you know, flipping and then like smacking the center button a whole bunch of times. Like, he just kept going back and forth and back, but he was on that center button nonstop. And eventually, like, later we realized, oh, you can turn it on and off. And then if you turn it off, you can cycle it through various shots. And he was trying to line up all that stuff, and he got on the leaderboard. Like, he did really well, but I was sitting there like, that's a lot of work, you know? Like,
yeah,
it is like a lot of effort. Yeah. And not to say that pinball should be a lazy, casual activity, but I don't think it should quite be an aerobic activity, you know? I don't know. That was just one of those observations that I made. I was just like, oh, this is three buttons and two hands, and I don't know how this is going to go.
Yeah.
So with the end of round 10s, I started round 10 179th. And I don't think 4 points got me into finals. And so I kind of knew my event was over. So, but I did double check my my predictions from the previous, the Pinburg is Coming episode. And I had listed 14 names of podcast individuals. And I thought I was going to finish ahead of six of them. It turns out there was only 12 of those individuals that said they were going to go to Pinburg that actually competed. Jeff Rivera from the Pinball Podcast decided to go to California instead, and Jack Danger flew in too late, even though I said, once I found that out, I told him, hey, you should just take all zeros on day one and then just come crush it on day two and still play. And he kind of got a chuckle out of that, but he was not going to partake. But he was still there. He emceed the finals on the stage for A. He was walking around. He chatted up a whole bunch of people. So anyways, so I went through and I ran the numbers. And so that leaves us 5 out of 12, because I was not expecting to finish ahead of Jack. And I was thinking I stood a decent chance of coming in ahead of Jeff. Jeff can play really well. But Jeff has consistency issues, as he's brought up, and if Jeff is on, he's on, and if he's not, he's not. And so I was just like, well, you know, 50-50 chance, let's be optimistic. So so I took Jeff off the list as a win, and I took Jack off the list as a loss. And so I finished ahead of Nate Shivers, Tommy Skinner, Taylor Reese, Jessica DiNardo, and Kevin Manny. And so going from 6 out of 14 to 5 out of 12, I nailed it. And I think pretty much all these are the names that I was maybe thinking would fall where they did. Not to say that anybody's not a good player, because like, you had Taylor Reese in the D finals, and I would not consider either one of you a D caliber player. And that just kind of, again, goes to show the play field, or the player base that's coming out to Pinburg. It's It's strong, mm-hmm. and every point matters. Again, there's that common thread, you know. So, I nailed my prediction on who I was going to beat and who I was not going to beat, and I came very much short of coming in, 37th to get my 15 points. So, that was the end of my competitive time, and so now I turned into an annoying cheerleader, I think.
No, you were a good cheerleader. That was good. So I ended up in 23rd, and so that was enough to make the playoffs.
So there's the end of day two. I finished almost as low as possible in B division, but still had a great time playing. Ben, as you just heard, made the finals in D division, so we're going to pick up part three of this with the finals performance, and it was a really fun day. It was a... there was some highs, there were some lows, there was some drama, there's a lot going on. So stay tuned for part three, and until then, party on.
Party on, Wayne!
Party on, Garth!
It's Wayne's World! Wayne's World! Party time! Excellent!
And we're clear.